You know, let me assure you right quick, ladies, that you do not have to have a charismatic personality to be bold in your soul winning. You really don't. You don't have to be a Bible college teacher to be effective in soul winning. I have gone in the past with two different elderly ladies, Mrs. Bartell in Indiana and Mrs. Ballou in Michigan, Jonathan Ballou's mother. And they're both very soft-spoken ladies. They were both soft-spoken. And yet they were effective soul winners. So you don't, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I just don't have a charismatic personality, don't use that as an excuse not to be bold in your soul winning. We're going to talk about that. You know, at the age of five, a little girl named Hannah had gotten saved. And a few weeks after she had been saved, she told her mom, you know, I think Jesus has moved out of my heart. And with curiosity and concern, the mom said, Hannah, well, where do you think Jesus has gone? And Hannah said, I think he's moved to my throat because all I want to do is tell people about Jesus. Oh, my goodness. And ladies, we're saved. We have Jesus in our heart. But maybe he needs to move to our throat. And we need to tell people about Jesus. All right? So we should constantly be witnessing and talking about the Lord. And the Lord can give us boldness. There is a verse of scripture on your paper, the first one, and it's Acts 4:13, where the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, and you know what that means? Peter and John were no one special. They were unlearned and they were ignorant men. They didn't have a college degree. These people marveled and they took knowledge of Peter and John that they had been with Jesus. That's interesting, isn't it? Wow. There's only one requirement for being bold in soul winning. You know what that is, ladies? That we've been with Jesus, he's saved us, and we want to tell other people. So that's the only requirement. If we're saved, we've been with Jesus, we spend time with him, and we want to share our salvation. We don't need to be tentative or shy when we go soul winning. So let's use the acrostic, B-O-L-D, Pearl. Probably we should not have any more come in because there's no place to sit.
Okay?
Some ladies wanted to stand. Okay, they did. Okay, great. So we're going to use this word bold, B-O-L-D, and we're going to spell it out in your notes. So first of all, why can we be bold? Why can we be bold? The B stands for because of Christ and the cross. Because of Christ and the cross. You know, Christ commanded us to teach others about the priceless gift of salvation. I want you to think about your salvation for a second. Let me think about mine, but let me think about mine out loud, okay? My parents were in Bible college in Tennessee. And all six of us children went to that Bible college in Tennessee. So I was told about salvation, and I'm the oldest of six children. I had been told about salvation all the way through growing up. I'd been to Sunday school, of course, and heard from sermons from Dr. Lee Robertson. To me, he looked like Moses, but I would learn from him. But one night, when we were at a tent revival, Lester Roloff, let's see. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know what? You could say it over here on the. We didn't know if y'all were coming back or not. I am so sorry. Okay. There, over here, lady.
There's a piano bench.
Yes. Can you do that? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you so much. I was sitting in the audience with my mom and daddy at this tent revival where Lester Roloff was preaching, and I stood up on the pew at the end. Not the pew. It was a bench. And I said, Daddy, I want to be saved. And so since I was only five, he took me home. And he went through the plan of salvation again with me. I'd heard it in Sunday school, heard it in church. But I received Christ as my Savior. Guess what I did? To be saved, after he told me how to be saved, I knelt down at a round piano stool. Are any of you old enough to remember? Didn't used to have nice seats like that. They used to have round piano stools. I remember kneeling down and asking Jesus to save me. Did I know all about the Bible? No. But I knew that I wanted to be saved. I wanted Jesus in my heart. Ladies, think about your salvation. If you've been with Jesus with a moment of salvation, we ought to be bold in telling others because of Christ and the cross. The verse of scripture listed on your paper is Matthew 28:18-20. I'll read it for you. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Is it not on your paper?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just the reference. So just listen to me. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, listen to this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. So when we go and knock on a door, the Lord is with us. So how can we be bold? Because of Christ and the cross. We follow His command because He loves us. When someone loves us, we desire to please them. We are willing to leave our comfort zone because we know that it makes that person happy. So we should be bold in soul winning because of Christ and the cross. When I am obedient, I can have confidence in the Lord. He will give me wisdom and strength. So because of Christ and the cross, look at the three little suggestions there. To fill our cup with boldness, we should, number one, be ready and willing to be used. This means being a clean vessel. Did you know that no one wants coffee, bold coffee, whether you like it strong or black or sugary or flavored? Nobody wants any kind of coffee in a dirty cup, do they? So you see, we need to be ready and willing to be used and to be clean. Number two, we should set up a weekly time to go soul winning. Make God's commandment in Matthew 28 our first priority. Number three, meditate on the Lord and the cross. Don't wait for a burden. You know what, ladies? If you will just go ahead and think of Christ and the cross, it will give you a burden. Christ died for me. At least I can live for Him and go knock on a door and witness to somebody in soul winning. So why can we be bold? Capital B, because of Christ and the cross. Then, to be bold in soul winning, we should, the O stands for, obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. Obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. We can think of many stories of obedience in the Bible, but I want to talk to you about the account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch that we all often hear, how one man's obedience to the Holy Spirit in soul winning led to this eunuch getting saved. He was in another country. Then he went back. He got saved and baptized. Then he hopefully went to his country and talked to other people about the Lord. But Philip obeyed the impulse of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me say this, and I'll read this from the passage listed in your notes, Acts 8:29. Then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go near, join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Here's this man sitting in this chariot reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip says, "Understandest what thou readest?" And the eunuch said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" How do these people in the area where we live, how do they know about the gospel? We have to tell them. Most of them don't go to church. So we have to go to them and knock on their door because they're not going to church. And so Philip says, "Oh, let me come and sit with you and I will explain to you." And the scripture which this eunuch was reading was, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth." You know what the eunuch was reading about? The crucifixion story. Oh my goodness. And then the Bible says, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or somebody else?" And Philip says, "Oh no, it's Jesus." He explained until he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Wow. What if Philip had not obeyed the impulse of the Holy Spirit? Wow. What if Philip had had a bad attitude that his job or maybe his week was being interrupted, or that things hadn't gone as planned for the day? Well, then that eunuch would not have gotten saved. So obeying the Holy Spirit is listening to the Holy Spirit's still small voice and then acting upon it. It may not come at the most convenient time or the most expected places. Now, I go on Tuesday night soul winning. I usually go with a church lady. And then on Saturday morning, since I'm the dean of women here at the college, I let the girls sign up and I take three different college girls out with me every Saturday morning. And you know what? I love it, but sometimes it's like, okay, why did I have these girls sign up? But for a split second, I say, what is wrong with me for thinking that? I love to go. I went with Chris Reams one time, and we went walking down the street, knocking on doors, and this lady is a very learned lady in the public school system here in this area, and yet she was going soul winning. She's going now with Martha Martins, and I hope that many of you and everybody goes soul winning. But it's so important. We should obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. John 14:17 may be listed in your notes here. The Bible says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you." So ladies, he's here. And when we're someplace and the Holy Spirit says, "Give that person a tract," we need to do it.
Yeah.
Give that person a tract. Well, they're busy. No, that's an impulse of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you a story. One summer on tour, several summers ago, our van, I believe it was a tire problem. Something was wrong with a tire. So this was 5, 5:30 in the afternoon. We had a service that night, but we got to the town early, so my husband said, I need to go check. I think it was a tire. So we went up to this place, and the man that was running the business was closing. He was getting everything ready. He was doing the final thing on the cash register. And so my husband said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm really in a pickle here. I just really need to check on this tire. And the man said, well, we're at closing time, and you've come too late. You need to come tomorrow. And, he wasn't going to give an inch on that. So my husband said, at that moment, the Holy Spirit said, we'll give him a track. And then my husband said to himself, no, because this man is already mad. And he'll really hit me then. You know, he's trying to get home and get out of here. But my husband said, the Holy Spirit said, no, give him a track. So my husband said, okay, that's fine. I'm sorry. I'm here at the wrong time. But you know what? Before I go, can I just give you this good news from the Bible? And this man's personality and countenance changed just like that. And he goes, oh, I am in a mess. This is what I need, something like this. And his total attitude changed. Amen. And my husband was not able to go through the plan of salvation there because the man was getting out of there. But he said, I have been wanting something like this. But my husband was so thankful that he obeyed the impulse of the Holy Spirit because everything was screaming against it. No, this man is already aggravated that I've come here and he's closing. And he's got a problem. I don't know what it is. And I got to get out of here. But he obeyed the impulse of the Holy Spirit. How many times have I not obeyed the whole impulse of the Holy Spirit? How many times have we done that? Way too many, right? But let's obey the impulse of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit says, go give them a track or knock on their door. You're fine. So if we obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit, which is what the O is about, look at your notes. We can fill our cup with bowl coffee, as it were, with these three ways. Number one, carry tracks in your purse and in your car. Carry them. Our church is so wonderful to providing beautiful tracks. I mean, I gladly give them out. They're gorgeous. But your church has tracks. Keep some in your purse. Keep some in the pocket there in your car. Then number two, pray for God-ordained appointments, as Mrs. Wilkerson did. Help me. I always go the same way on the route to church. But Lord Jesus, I'll go whichever way you want me to do. Remember this? Mm-hmm. And then would you know, there at a bus stop was the very lady she'd been praying for. She obeyed the impulse of the Holy Spirit. That was a God-appointed, God-ordained appointment. And ladies, we're not less special than Linda Wilkerson. If she can have God-ordained appointments, we can too, if we obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. And number three, another way, use or see recreational activities or daily tasks as an opportunity to witness. For example, if any of your kids play in a soccer thing. You sit there for hours, don't you? Watching these little boys and these little girls kicking the ball to nowhere. You know, so I'm glad those days are over for me. But you know, you can give a person a track. You're sitting there forever, you know? Or going to Walmart. And there's some people at Walmart that need tracks, don't they? I don't know who they hire. I think they find the most bizarre people and say, we will hire you, you know? I want them to hire our nice-looking college students, you know, but it seems like they hire the most bizarre people. But those people need a track, you know, and they can't read it right then because they're at work. But can you stick this in your pocket? And when you get a chance, there's some good news from the Bible. Obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. Waiting in the doctor's office. It seems like forever. You get there at a certain time, and you sit there forever, you know. And so the Holy Spirit says, give them a track. Do it, you know. Let's obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit if we want to be bold in soul winning. So to be bold in soul winning, we need to remember because of Christ and the cross, we should be bold and obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. Then to be bold in soul winning, the L stands for love others as Christ loved them. The Bible says in Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Watch carefully. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. You know why? They were as sheep having no shepherd. He could heal their body, and he did, but they needed to be saved. So he said, disciples, look at all these people. I can heal their disease and their sickness, but they need a Savior. And that's where what we're for. We're to help with that. Look at the multitudes going in and out of Walmart. It's like the whole world goes there, you know? And you can, when you're by the side of the car with somebody here, like to give you some good news from the Bible. Just do it. Why? Because we should love others as Christ loved them. We say, well, they're weird looking. I know, they probably think we're weird looking. And so go right ahead. Look at them at ball games, Dodgers games, the mall. Most of them are most likely not saved. And so let's love them as Christ loved them. Christ loved the multitudes, no matter what their culture, their race, whatever about them. He loved them, and we should. As we go soul winning, do we see people as souls, or do we see them as just people with problems? Jesus Christ, while he was on the earth, spent time with people of all backgrounds, from Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, to the Samaritan woman at the well, from the Roman centurion in charge of 100 soldiers to blind Bartimaeus beside the road. Christ ministered to everyone regardless of whatever. That's the way we should be. We should love people as Christ loved people. And if we will be bold in soul winning. Jude 1:22, the Bible says, of some having compassion makes a difference. We can make a difference, ladies, in people's lives by having a compassion toward them, a love, loving them as Christ loved them. Listen to this story. One Sunday, a lady was inviting children to come to Sunday school when she met a little boy and asked him, "Why do you go to that church? It's so far away. There's so many other Sunday schools that you could go to." He says, "Oh, there's others. They may be good, but they're not good for me." She said, "Well, why?" He says, "Because you know over there they love a fella. They love a fella over there." I'm so thankful for our church, even though it's a big church. This church loves people. Amen. Your church loves people. Mm-hmm. And we need to love people. We're not all so high and mighty, are we? No, we should be bold in soul winning because of Christ and the cross. Think about it. We should obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. And we should love others as Christ loved them, with compassion. I'm blessed to work in the dean's office here at the college. My secretary, Helen Eyre, is such a blessing to me. I can hear her sometimes on the phone, and they're talking to someone she's led to the Lord, someone she's discipling and arranging a time to meet them. And a lot of times they're people that are not rich people. They're people that have possibly even ridden the bus. But she loves them. She's a blessing to me. I thought she was going to be in here this session, and I wanted to put that in there, but that's okay. Pearl, you tell her I said that, okay? Pearl works in an office, but she's, Miss Eyre is a blessing to me. But if we're going to love others as Christ loved them, look at some practical things I've given you. Number one, invite guests to your home after a service or invite them out to lunch. I've been working with a lady named Christine Jones for 2 years. I met her out on door knocking, and she sits with me on Sunday mornings, and I picked her up for about a year because she didn't have a car. Now she has a car, praise the Lord. But I'll never forget, one Sunday, I was picking her up, and on the way home, I said, "Christine, you know, my husband's out of town. He's preaching in another place, so I'll buy you a Subway. We could eat it at my house." So we went by Subway and got a Subway, and then I said, "Let's eat it at the house so that I can use my own drinks and my own chips because, you know, I'm all about saving money." And so we're on our way to the house with our Subway, and Christine, you know, she hasn't been raised like I've been raised, and she doesn't have the kind of home the way I've raised our boys. But I love her because Christ loved her, and she's been saved and baptized. And when we're almost there to the house, we're going slower, praise the Lord, she started opening the door and doing something funny. I said, "What? Christine, what are you doing?" And she looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "Well, you were opening the door trying to get out." She said, "Oh, I have seizures, and I forgot to take my medicine this morning." I said, "Well, honey, don't you ever forget to take your medicine for seizures when I pick you up." But are we willing to pick somebody up like that? Yes. You know? Do we love others as Christ loved them? Number two, ask them if they have needs, if we can pray for them about it, and then pray for them. Tell them you're praying for them. Number three, text or write them a note of encouragement. The last two summers, I've tried to send Christine Jones a postcard every single week. We're gone 14 weeks on tour. We sleep in a different bed every night and sleep on a different pillow every night. That's just what we do in representing the college. But I've tried to write her every week. And you know what she told me the other day? She said, "I still have all those cards you sent me." I said, "Really?" But it's big to her. Four, find a common interest and introduce them to others with that interest. Number five, bring them a gift with an invitation to church. Number six, host a neighborhood fellowship. Our church does this before every musical. They provide the refreshments, and all we do is invite our neighbors in and give them a ticket, you know, for the musical. Number seven, be faithful to follow up. Keep a sweetheart list. Don't just meet them once and forget about them. Right now, Chris and her partners are going to see different ladies who've maybe come before or who aren't coming regularly, but keep up with them. Let's love others as Christ loved them. Then, to be bold in soul winning, we need to, number D, die to self. We got to go out of our comfort zone. Is it easy to be bold for Christ? No. Rather be home doing something else. But let's die to self. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm happy about it. And it's yet not I, but it's Christ living in me. Wow. The biggest enemy to soul winning a lot of times is ourselves. If we ask a room full of people why they didn't go soul winning, you know what a lot of them would say? I'm just afraid to. I'm just afraid to. But girls, or ladies, I'm used to teaching college girls, sorry. Ladies, we need to die to self. Die to self. Some days you may not feel like going soul winning, but go anyway. Some days you may have no one answer the door. That happens a lot. But keep going anyway. Some rare days you may have somebody get upset. It doesn't happen often. And maybe close the door in your face, but keep going anyway. Sometimes it may seem like months before you've had someone saved, but keep going anyway. The devil is pleased when we stop, but we must die to self if we want to keep going. It's not easy for anybody, but the Lord is with us. He is with us. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:2, he says this, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. This is what Paul said. Paul said, it hasn't been easy to be a Christian, and we have suffered persecution. And some Christians have said, what are you doing? Why do you go so much trouble? But Paul said, we're going to go anyway. We're going to represent the Lord, and we're going to be bold in soul winning. Who is it out there in Lancaster or Palmdale or Victorville or Bakersville or Utah or wherever you're from that's waiting for somebody to look beyond themselves and their fears to help them with their greatest need? Their greatest need is Jesus. So let's go tell them. Let's die to self. To die to self and to fill our cup with bold, here's what we should do. 7 things. Know that you're not going alone. You're not going alone. Jesus is with you. The Bible says in Matthew 28, I am with you. Number 2, understand they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. So don't take it personally. They're not rejecting you. Die to self. We're just having boldness in soul winning. They're rejecting Christ. Number 3, continue to study God's Word. Number 4, read books on soul winning to equip you. Pastor Paul Chappell has written the greatest book, in my opinion, about soul winning. It's entitled To Seek and to Save. It's so easy to read, and we sell it down here in our bookstore, To Seek and to Save. It's perfect. It's great. Read books like that. Number 5, realize there is a real hell. I get frustrated, like I've expressed a while ago, with the wacky people they hire at Walmart and the wacky people that go there. But guess what? If those wacky people don't get saved, they go to hell. Oh my goodness. We should be bold in soul winning. Then number 6, be thankful that there is a real heaven. Wow. We can tell them the greatest news in the whole world. That's why I like to say it when I'm giving a total stranger a tract. I just like to give this. This is some good news from the Bible. It's good news. And then number 7, imagine the words of our Savior to the faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. One of these days, we're going to stand before the Lord. And if we're saved, our salvation is settled and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So then we're standing before the Lord to give an account individually as to what we've done for the Lord after our salvation. Now we're going to go to heaven, but some of us are going to have some tears up there, and we're going to wish we had given Christ more. And at some point, He's going to wipe the tears away. He's going to need to. But we want the Lord to be able to look at us and say, well done. You did witness. You did share the greatest news in the whole world, that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. And He saved me, and I want to share that with you. And if you reject it, it's not like you're rejecting me. That's okay. Go to the next house. There's lots of houses around. There's lots of people, lots of different people at Walmart and everywhere that you can hand tracts out. But our goal is to say, Lord, just to hear the Lord say, well done. But it's not going to just come by osmosis, ladies. We're going to have to get up and do it. Okay? And you know what? The Lord will be with us. and he'll give us moments. Ladies, don't you want to be effective in soul winning? Don't you? I do. I want to win people to the Lord, and then I just don't want to birth them in the God's family and leave them. It'd be awful to do. We frown upon a lady who would do that, give birth to a baby, and then leave the baby somewhere. So let's be bold in our soul winning. Let's pray. I tell the college girls, pray that you'll find someone this semester that you can lead to the Lord. Pray about it. And then pray and say, Lord, I really want one of these people that I lead to the Lord, I want them to come to church. So we pray for fruit, and we need to pray for fruit that remains. We have an awesome treasure in here, ladies. Why we're tentative about showing it is so selfish, isn't it? Let's be bold in soul winning and say, Lord, use me, and the Lord will be with us. Okay?